Good evening. Welcome to the January 23rd meeting of the Aiken City Council. At this time, I'm going to ask Grant Wiseman if he would come up and lead us in our invocation. Grant, thank you for being with us tonight.
Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we gather this evening as Aiken City Council and concerned citizens who love the city of Aiken. Be with us as we work together to discern what is best for the city. Help us to listen to each other fully. Guide us in ways that we can fulfill the task before us. If we disagree, help us to make it about ideas and not personalities. May we end this meeting excited about the future of our city, that it may be a continuation of the great work of those that came before us. All this we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. And Grant is the minister at St. Thaddeus. And Grant, we appreciate all you do for our community and being here. At this time, I'm going to ask Troop 146 if they would come up and lead us in our pledge. Gentlemen, we appreciate you being with us and being a part of your city government.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all.
Thank you so much for being with us today. And while they're going back, I'd like to ask the leaders of the troop if they would stand and be recognized. Thank you for your leadership and dedication in working with our young people. To review the guidelines of our city council meetings, meetings are public forums in which many opinions are expressed and business of the city must be conducted. As such, discipline, honorable, and professional decorum is paramount. Courteous and respectful communication is expected. During public hearings, all questions and statements from the public shall be directed to the chair. And if you wish to speak, raise your hand and I will recognize you. Please approach the podium and state your name and address. In order to allow an opportunity for everyone who wishes to address council, speakers should limit their comments to the subject being discussed. Each speaker will be given 5 minutes to address an issue and may only address an issue once unless questions from council are posed to the speaker. And with that, I will turn to additions and deletions to the agenda, and I'll recognize Mayor Pro Tem Reggie Edmonds.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Does council have any addition or changes to the schedule, to the agenda, excuse me? Hearing none, Mr. Mayor, I so move that we approve the agenda.
Sir, is there a second?
I second.
All right, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. The minutes were distributed previous to the meeting. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we accept.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion or changes? Hearing none, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Moving down to the portion of our agenda under presentations. Number one, this is a proclamation recognizing Bob Besley for his service to the City of Aiken, and I would recognize Councilman Duwar at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before I read the proclamation, I'd like to introduce some people that are very important to Bob, Officer Bob, and his life. First, his wife, Sandy. Could you rise? Let's see where you are. There you are. And his daughter, Katie. Thank you, Katie. And we also have two of our... I won't say more important, but our recognized valuable members of the business community, Vance Reynolds, the CEO of Aiken Regional Medical Center, and the Chief Operating Officer, Matt Merrifield. Thank you all for being here for this. Whereas Bob Besley, known as Officer Bob to over 17,000 school children, began his public service career as a member of Aiken Department of Public Safety in October of 1986, and during his first 2 years of employment, trained and certified 70 public safety officers in firefighting. And whereas Bob Besley was awarded the South Carolina Municipal Achievement Award in 1991 and 1993 for the DARE program, And whereas in 1993, Bob Beasley created and implemented the Medical First Responder Program for Public Safety and was recognized and honored as the Aiken Department of Public Safety Officer of the Year in 1993. And whereas Bob Beasley continued to serve the City of Aiken as a volunteer fireman in 1996 and the Aiken Department of Public Safety from 1996 until 2006 when he retired. And whereas Bob Beasley continued to volunteer as a fireman until 2011, and whereas Bob Beasley served on the Building Code of Appeals from 2006 to 2012, and whereas Bob Beasley began service on the City of Aiken Planning Commission in 2012 and continues to serve in that capacity, now therefore be it resolved that the Aiken City Council recognizes and commends Bob Beasley, also known as Officer Bob, for his 30 years of service to the City of Aiken. I'm proud to present this proclamation and, to his surprise, a 30-year pin.
All right. Bob looks young enough he can serve another 30 years. Thank you for your service. You've been an incredible asset and dedicated servant for the city, and it means an awful lot. And we're happy to recognize you, and it's not much for all that you put into it, but thank you. It certainly is well-deserved, and we certainly appreciate all your contributions. Next under presentations is a proclamation designated February 2017 as American Heart Month. The Councilman Homoki has that.
The proclamation, whereas cardiovascular disease is a leading cause of death in Aiken and accounts for more deaths than cancer, diabetes, suicide, and Alzheimer's diseases combined, and whereas making the right choices regarding nutrition, physical activity, medical care, and other lifestyle factors is essential to living a healthy heart life, and whereas Aiken Mended Hearts serves the residents of Aiken by actively supporting cardiac rehabilitation efforts in concert with University of South Carolina, Aiken, and whereas Aiken Mended Hearts recommends people embrace at least one lifestyle change to reduce their risk of heart disease through increasing their physical activity, making heart-healthy dietary changes, and losing weight. Whereas February has been declared American Health Month, let it be known to all citizens of Aiken, therefore, that the Aiken Mended Hearts Chapter 294 implores their cooperation in fighting America's number one killer, heart disease. Let February be the month when all good men and women seek assurance that their hearts are ready to sustain a long and healthy life. Don't procrastinate and become one who succumbs to this silent killer. Act now and enjoy the February's yet to come. And whereas the facts speak loudly, the City of Aiken does therefore endorse and support through this proclamation the best welfare of its citizens and all others who henceforth shall profit by this call to health. Now, therefore, the Council of the City of Aiken does hereby proclaim February 2017 as American Heart Month and encourages all residents to make lifestyle changes to reduce their risk of heart disease and join with the Aiken Mended Hearts in fighting America's number one killer, heart disease. Signed by the Mayor and the Council members.
Thank you, Councilman Homoki. I know we have Phil Windsor here. Phil, would you like to come up and maybe introduce the group that you have with you? And Councilman Homoki and I are going to come down so we can present this to you.
wonderful. And also on behalf of my friends here who are all accredited visitors, but I want to make clear that Aiken Mended Hearts chapter, we visit about approximately 150 patients and family every single month at the Aiken Regional Medical Centers. We're proud to do it, and I bet you there are a lot more Mended Hearts out here than just those with these kind of shirts on, and we welcome you to come visit us sometimes. Sam Huff, board member, and I have Emily Lockhart and Phil Lockhart, who are also accredited visitors for our program, and they go back a number of years with our chapter. This has been 2016 was our 15th year of operation, and we continue. But thank you very much.
Well, we'd like to present this to you in a way of just saying thank you. I mean, it's Awareness Month, but also I really call it a vision, so we want
probably a call, and I'm sure. So thank you so much for what you do for our community. It's important. It makes a difference. Thank you. God bless. It's nice to see Phil Lockhart in the audience. He's one of our more active members of the community, and provides a lot of guidance and help to me. I appreciate that. Nice seeing you both here.
He's the energizer bunny.
That's right, he is.
That's terrific. All right, moving down to number three, item number three, old business. Number one is approval of appointments and discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. I turn to staff and for names that were turned in.
Mr. Mayor, the council has 18 pending appointments to fill vacancies on different city boards, commissions, and committees. Two appointments are presented for council's consideration and vote at the meeting tonight. Councilman Mary has recommended the reappointment of Liz Stewart to the Planning Commission. If reappointed, Ms. Stewart's term would expire on December 1, 2018. Councilman Mary has also recommended the appointment of Karen Petit to the Senior Commission to fill the position of Gail Hendricks, who has resigned. If appointed, Ms. Petit's term would expire March 14, 2019. For council consideration is the reappointment of Liz Stewart to the Planning Commission and the appointment of Karen Petit to the Senior Commission.
Very good. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Congratulations, Ms. Petit. Are there any names to be considered for our next meeting of council? Moving down old business. Number two under old business, this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex 104 Recreation Drive and zone it residential single family, RS-15, by title an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken property owned by Hattie and Jerry McCarty and to zone the same residential single family, RS-15. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Motion? Second?
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Murphy. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, at the Planning Commission meeting on December 13, 2016, Hattie C. and Jerry E. McCarty requested annexation of 104 Recreation Drive and zoning as residential single family. The property is a single lot consisting of 1.04 acres in the Gem Lakes Estates subdivision that is currently in an unincorporated, quote, donut hole. The surrounding lots are incorporated and zoned RS-15. After review, the Planning Commission voted 6-0 to recommend approval for annexation of 104 Recreation Drive with RS-15 zoning. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the January 9, 2017 meeting. For City Council consideration is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex 104 Recreation Drive and zone it RS-15.
Thank you, Mr. Quinn. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? Hearing none, all those in favor on second reading? And that passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving down to number three under old business. This is a second reading and a public hearing of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for 2286 Whiskey Road, the old TD Bank property, by title an ordinance amending the concept plan for the property located at 2286 Whiskey Road. Is there a motion?
Mr. Mayor?
Second. We have a motion and a second. Comment from staff.
Mr. Mayor, the Planning Commission at their December 13, 2016 meeting considered a request from Joshua Cox, Buckel Design Group, LLC, for approval of the concept plan for 2286 Whiskey Road. The applicant is requesting concept plan approval for a 7,680-square-foot discount tire store. The property was previously annexed into the city of Aiken and rezoned planned commercial. The property was previously occupied by TD Bank. Several years ago, City Council adopted a policy that all annexations along the Whiskey Road corridor would be with PC or PR zoning. For any development in the PC zone, a concept plan must be reviewed by the Planning Commission and approved by City Council. Also, City Council adopted a policy on November 12, 2001, which requires all annexations on Whiskey Road to comply with the Whiskey Road corridor study done by LDR International, which consists of the piping of open ditches, installation of sidewalks, and the planting of street trees if determined feasible by the city. The property to the north of 2286 Whiskey Road, which is occupied by Krispy Kreme and Harbor Freight, is incorporated in zone plan commercial. To the south is NTB Tire Service, which is located outside the city in zoned urban district. To the west across Whiskey Road is Ruby Tuesdays and Chick-fil-A, which is zoned general business. To the east is unincorporated land, which is currently utilized as residential manufactured home lots. After review, the Planning Commission voted 6-0 to recommend approval of the concept plan with the following conditions as stated in the agenda. At the January 9, 2017 council meeting, there was discussion and concern about an intraparcel connection to be able to connect to a future road at the rear of the property. The concept plan has been revised, showing a 30-foot access easement running generally along the south property boundary, extending from the parking lot to the rear property line, which may be improved if and when such an interparcel connections become available on adjacent properties. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the January 9, 2017 meeting. For City Council approval is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve a concept plan for 2286 Whiskey Road with the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Any comments from the audience? Comments or questions from council?
I've got a question, Mr. Mayor. This may be appropriate for the city attorney, but the ordinance still references the cross-access be provided unless planning director deemed it inappropriate or impractical. And as we talked about at first reading, we talked about a rear access that can be connected to a rear road. In the opinion of the city attorney or whomever, should that be rephrased or restated in some way? Or is it?
If you look on page 74 of your agenda package, mm-hmm. you'll see where they revised.
I saw that.
And that's the area where that cross access would go.
Right. I'm just saying in the ordinance it talks about interconnecting. Let's see. Cross access be provided, implying cross access to the property next door. I mean, do you think it's satisfactory the way it's written, or should it be?
Okay. I do.
All right. If your infinite wisdom thinks so, then I'll go with it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman Mayor. Any other questions from council? All those in favor with those changes made on second reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number 5 under old business, this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance amending the FY 2016-17 budget to include... Oh, did I skip 4?
Thanks for a short meeting.
Yes, sorry. I apologize. Thank you. Number 4 under old business. Thank you. Second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone 11.87 acres known as DuPont Meadows from residential single family and general business to planned residential and approve the concept plan. By title, this is an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by DuPont Landing, LLC from residential single family, RS8, to general business, GB, to planned residential, PR, and to approve the concept plan. meeting. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Approve this.
Thank you. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, the Planning Commission at their December 13, 2016 meeting considered a request for DuPont Landing, LLC, Second Baptist Church, CDC, and Rural Health Services, Inc. for rezoning and concept plan approval for DuPont Meadows located off Voorhees Street in Clyburn Place, adjacent to DuPont Landing. The applicants are requesting rezoning from residential single family and general business to planned residential. Currently, the RS-8 zoning encompasses the majority of the current zoning, with the GB portion being a section of roads currently owned by Rural Health Services. The applicants are also requesting the approval of a concept plan to construct 50 two-bedroom duplex units in a community clubhouse. The proposed development would connect to DuPont Landing, which consists of 44 single-family detached homes. The proposed development would target senior households 55 years or older and would be rental property. In 2006, Council adopted a policy that tracts of land 4 acres or more requesting rezoning or annexation for the provision of city utility services and used primarily for residential purposes be rezoned to comply with the planned residential zoning. For any development in the PR zone, a concept plan must be reviewed by the Planning Commission and approved by City Council. At the December 13, 2016 meeting, the Planning Commission reviewed the request for rezoning and the proposed concept plan. After the review, the Planning Commission voted 4-0 to recommend approval of the application for concept plan approval with the following conditions as stated in the agenda package. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the January 9, 2017 meeting. For City Council consideration is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve the application for rezoning 11.87 acres from residential single family and general business to planned residential and approval of the concept plan with the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission. And I do know, Mr. Mayor, we have representatives from DuPont Landing, the Second Baptist Church, and Rural Health Services, Inc. here to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Are there any comments from the audience? Are there any questions or comments from council? Hearing none, all those in favor on second reading? And that's unanimous. And we appreciate those who are here for this and all your efforts on this. I think it's a great project for our city. Moving down now to number 5. This is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance amending the FY 2016-17 budget to include funding for the Chesterfield Street Storm Drainage Project. By ordinance an ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2016 and ending June 13, 2017. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Thank you. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, for several years, the storm drainage infrastructure at the Chesterfield Street Bridge and the historic railroad cut has needed replacing. This corrugated metal pipe was installed in the 1970s. We have worked with our consulting engineers from the Cranston Engineering Group on a solution. The project was put out to bid in October 2016 with a lowest responsible bid of $936,150. This amount was well over budget. Staff in Cranston reworked the bid document by redesigning the project by removing the restoration portion of the initial bid and made it strictly a stabilization project. A second bid opening was held on December 15, 2016. The lowest responsible bid was from Haywood Baker of Alpharetta, Georgia. They submitted a low bid of $629,727, which includes a 7% contingency. We will need to make a budget adjustment of up to $95,000 to complete the work, which will include some additional contingency of 3%. There are sufficient reserve funds to make the budget adjustment and the line items as noted in the agenda. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the January 9, 2017 meeting. For City Council approval, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance amending the fiscal year 2016-17 budget to include funding for the Chesterfield Street Storm Drainage Project.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Any comments from our audience? Any comments or questions from council? Hearing none, all those in favor on second reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number six under old business. This is a second reading and a public hearing of an ordinance approving the lease of property at the Aiken Municipal Airport by title, an ordinance approving the lease of property at the Aiken Municipal Airport. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt this as second reading.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, since 1972, the United States Department of Energy has leased space for an air monitoring station at the Aiken Municipal Airport. The Department of Energy would like to renew the lease for 20 more years at the same site at the airport, specifically a 40 feet by 40 feet parcel of land near the intersection of US 1 and Aviation Boulevard. Department of Energy monitors air emissions generated by the Savannah River site at this location for public health and safety purposes. There is one of four air monitoring sites the Department of Energy maintains near the SRS. Staff and the city attorney have reviewed the lease and recommend its acceptance. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the January 9, 2017 meeting. For council consideration is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance approving the lease of property at the Aiken Municipal Airport.
Thank you, Mr. Klum. Any comments from the audience? Okay. Comments or questions from council? Hearing none, all those in favor of the second reading? That passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving down to that portion of new business on our agenda at this point, at this time. Number one is a resolution to authorize renewing a lease with Francliff LLC regarding driveway access at Wendy's Restaurant. By title, resolution authorizing renewal of a lease with Francliff LLC. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, for several years, the city has been making efforts to interconnect parcels of property, and we have entered into leases with adjacent property owners. These leases have helped alleviate unnecessary use of our main arterial roads, such as Whiskey Road. Our lease is the driveway at the Wendy's Restaurant, located at the corner of Pine Log and Whiskey Roads. This driveway lease helps customers access the Staples Shopping Center rather than having to drive back onto Pine Log Road or to Whiskey Road. In order to continue the lease, we need City Council approval of a resolution to extend their lease for 5 years. Ms. Simmons is agreeable for extending the lease for another 5 years. For City Council consideration is a resolution to renew the lease for Francliff LLC for driveway access to the Wendy's Restaurant on Whiskey Road.
Thank you, Clint. Is there any comments from the audience? Comments or questions from council? Hearing none, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. We have number two under new business. This is first reading of an ordinance to rezone 4.43 acres, plus or minus, located at 573 Town Creek Road from residential single family, RS-15, to planned institutional, PI, and approve the concept plan. By title, an ordinance to rezone certain property located at 573 Town Creek Road from residential single family, RS-15, to planned institutional, PI, and to approve the proposed concept plan. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt this on first reading.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, at their January 10, 2017 meeting, the Planning Commission considered a request from MKP Properties, the applicant, to rezone 573 Town Creek Road from residential single family to planned institutional. They also requested approval of a concept plan. The property is owned by the Town Creek Baptist Church and was the former church sanctuary, gym, and classrooms. The applicant, MKP Properties, intends to repurpose and refurbish the original Town Creek Baptist Church sanctuary and two accessory structures for use as a senior activity center. No major structural changes are planned for the buildings aside from those that are needed to enhance the safety and appearance of the structures. The applicants propose to use the sanctuary as an event center for cultural entertainment, caregiver education and support, as well as community social events. The former meeting hall and gym will house classroom space for senior activities as the primary activity on the site. The cemetery will remain under the ownership and maintenance of Town Creek Baptist Church. The planned institutional zone provides locations for schools, churches, and some other institutional uses in locations which may affect residential or other more restrictive zones or less intense uses. The proposed zoning of PI requires a concept plan approved by City Council after Planning Commission review. After review, the Planning Commission recommended approval of the rezoning request to plan institutional and approval of the concept plan with the following conditions as stated in the agenda. For City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to rezone 4.43 acres located at 573 Town Creek Road from residential single family to plan institutional and approve the concept plan with the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Now, I wonder if we might could have those conditions. Wait, I know Ryan is here. I don't know if you have those, but yeah, okay. If you will.
There are seven conditions listed in the request from the Planning Commission. One, that a survey plat of the property being purchased and rezoned be recorded and submitted to the City of Aiken within 90 days. The concept plan, that any congregational event activities at the former church sanctuary be limited to weekends and one floating weekday and shall be limited to the hours of 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Two, that a perpetual cross-access easement agreement be recorded between the subject property and the adjacent cemetery property. Three, that approval of the ingress and egress to the site should be based upon review and approval by the South Carolina Department of Transportation. Four, that the applicant should submit a landscape and tree preservation plan for the site that complies with the City of Aiken zoning ordinances. Additionally, any removal of trees be reviewed and confirmed by the city horticulturalist and the planning director. Five, that the existing buildings connect to the city sewer system. Six, that a revised concept plan listing conditions of approval and any changes required by City Council be submitted within 90 days. And seven, that the applicant sign an agreement stating the condition of approval within 90 days.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Appreciate that. Will that all open up any comment from the audience at this time? Comments or questions from council? Yes, sir, Mr. Ebner?
Yes. We always have a little bit of an issue when we're dealing with the city property versus SCDOT roads, state roads, as we know. And it's in the minutes on page 152 about two access points off of it, off of Town Creek and one off of Springwood Drive. And I assume Springwood Drive is in the city or is it state? It didn't say here. But I think it's important that these three entrances be maintained. And the reason is I drove around the property and your access for fire and police is a little bit restricted if you try to cut one of these out. So I think it's important that all three of these remain. On it, and it is between the purchaser of the property and SCDOT to get that permit.
Okay. Is there a question of whether they would remain or not?
You never know what SCDOT is going to do.
Okay. Can we maybe have that answered by a separate reading?
Sure. We'd be more than glad to either meet with the applicant to discuss their intention, if they happen to be here tonight, if they would like to let us know. If not, we could reach out.
I think the applicant is here, so.
Yeah, we need to be sure and get that done so it doesn't come back to haunt the new owners of the property.
Good evening, Ms. Petit.
Hi, Karen Petit, 113 Hartwell Drive. I live in the neighborhood under question. And we have no plans to do anything with any of the entrances. In fact, we've drawn a a new pathway for safety reasons that was submitted to planning, and the church will maintain the parking lot that's in front of the cemetery that also has an exit entrance here. So we have no intentions of changing anything.
Thank you.
I have a question, Mr. Mayor, to ask.
Sure.
Karen, in an explanation comment, statement was made that the proposed use of the property is to bring an established award-winning senior day program. Question being, when do you expect this addition to be completed? The senior day, you planned a senior day, an award-winning senior day program at some point in time. Is that?
We currently own the award-winning senior day program.
Okay, is that
and
okay?
So our intention would be once the property is the improvements are made, that,
okay,
that we would move from our current location to that location.
Okay. All right, that's clear. Is it clear? Do you know when that location will be completed?
That would depend on the contractor.
Okay. So. But is it a year, 2 years?
We would hope that it would be in a few months.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you for all 8 active seniors doing this community.
All those in favor of this item on first reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. We got a new business number 3. This is first reading of an ordinance to rezone 6.14 acres on York Street at Bush Willow Drive from general business to planned residential and approve a concept plan by title, an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate located at the intersection of York Street and Bush Willow Drive from general business GB to planned residential PR. Is there a motion?
So, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt this.
Thank you, Ms. Price. Second.
I second.
Thank you, Ms. Diggs. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, at the Planning Commission meeting on January 10, 2017, the Commission considered a request for rezoning 6.14 acres located on York Street at Bush Willow Drive and approval of a concept plan. The applicant, Max Elby, Peachtree Housing Communities, proposes to develop an additional phase to the existing Longleaf Senior Village Phase 1. The 6.14 acre site is planned to consist of 49 one- and two-bedroom units housed in a 3-story building with an elevator and 20 one- and two-bedroom units in a 4-5-plex single-story building. The request is for rezoning of the property from general business to planned residential in order to construct a Phase 2 to Longleaf Senior Village, a senior housing development for residents 55 and older. No children will reside in development, so there will be no impact on the schools, and the impact to traffic will be minor. After review of the request for rezoning the proposed concept plan, the Planning Commission unanimously recommended approval with the following conditions as stated in the agenda. For City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to rezone 6.14 acres located on York Street at Bush Willow Drive from general business to planned residential and approve the concept plan for Phase 2 for Longleaf Senior Village with the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Klim. Any comments from the audience? Yes, sir. Good evening.
My name is Max Elby. Excuse me, 1831 Village Crossing Drive, Charleston, South Carolina, 29492. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council. Housing Communities. I'm the owner, we are the owner developers of Longleaf Senior Village, which is located directly southwest of the subject property. I'm here today to request 6.14 acres of land currently zoned general business to be rezoned to planned residential to enable us to develop an additional 79 units of senior housing for residents 55 and older. I'm also here today to request concept plan approval. Our community will provide our residents with on-site amenities that include a gazebo, a community center equipped with gathering areas for community events, a business center, and a fitness center equipped with fitness equipment appropriate for an aging population. The buildings will be constructed with brick and hardy plank siding only. No vinyl siding will be used. All the units will be accessible and adaptable to those with disabilities. Upgraded building materials and techniques will be utilized to ensure maximum efficiency in order to ensure that our residents' utility bills are lowered. Further to this point, all the appliances in our community are required to be ENERGY STAR certified. We will have a full-time property manager and full-time maintenance technician on site to ensure that our residents and our property's concerns are met timely. Furthermore, we will engage a third-party landscaping company to perform regular landscaping to ensure that our property is kept in pristine condition throughout the year. Longleaf Senior Village Phase 2 will be a senior community for those age 55 and older. I want to make it clear that our development is and will remain a senior community now and into the future. We will place an age restriction on the recorded deed to the property. All of our residents will be age 55 and older, with the exception of a spouse who is age 55 and older and has a younger husband or wife. No children will reside in our community. Thank you. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Elby. Are there any questions of Mr. Elby for
yes.
council this time?
Mr. Elby.
Yes, ma'am.
And I've gone back there. It's a very, very nice development. You said there are no children residing there now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess I see people, grandchildren, running around when I've
yeah, they can visit.
Back
I mean, in our lease says that they can, you know, they can.
And right now, you've got one access point.
Yes, ma'am.
Into the development. Are there plans for the future to maybe have another way out in and out of the?
When we developed Phase 1, we had to work with South Carolina DOT on that on Bush Willow Road, which is the access point, and.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not let us, you know, come onto Highway 1
okay.
Off of this 6.14 acres. So
not
we'll
even if you came behind that shopping center that's about to be empty soon.
I mean, I guess that's a possibility, but our plan right now is just to access on Bush Willow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When do you expect construction to begin if we accept this plan?
Probably March of 2018.
Okay.
Any other questions, Mr. Elby?
Thank you for being here.
Are there any other comments from the audience? Any comments or questions from council? Hearing none, all those who approve on first reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to that section, petitions and requests on our agenda. Number one is a staff update on recycling program.
And Mr. Mayor, we do have staff present this evening, Tim Coakley, and of course our DPW director is here, Michelle Jones. Just to briefly give us an update over activities, you've all had questions about the implementation. And answer any questions and just give us a brief snapshot of how it's going.
Good evening, Tim.
Good evening. First of all, can I answer any questions? We've had a trying couple weeks getting all the information out. We stumbled a little bit out of the gate, but things were much better this week. We were having several hundred phone calls a day the first couple weeks, to the point where we reprogrammed our phone system to allow two more employees to take phone calls instead of just our administrative assistant. So the good news is this week, today, the call volume was about 30.
With the calls just saying you forgot my... Oh, I need
it really ran the gamut. we had people saying we didn't even know the city recycled. We'd like to join. You know, so I guess bad press is good press. Everything from can I upgrade my cart to what color am I on to I need a schedule, you know, all over the board. But like I said, everything's slowed down this week, so I believe we've gotten the word out and... in the upcoming water bill newsletter, we worked real hard to have a four-page fold-out flyer that has every city street listed and what color it is, a copy of the calendar, and a bunch of frequently asked questions, you know, on the back page. So we're also directing people to our website that's got an interactive map. You can zoom into your neighborhood and see your street. You know, we're using Facebook and Twitter and all the social media tools. We've had two or three YouTube videos that we've done. Aiken Standard's given us some good coverage. So we've hit the gamut of all the different media outlets. So I believe the word's getting out.
Yeah. And I think we got, several of us got confused the first week, I think, because one date was published, and then it actually was supposed to start the next week. But I was proud to say this morning, when I was leaving my neighborhood, I just rolled around and noticed that there were no blue carts at the curb, just green. So they realized this was definitely not their week to have their recyclables picked up. So.
Well, good. And hopefully it gets easier every time we go through the cycle.
Mailing the things to those of us that pay our bill online. Not everybody gets a water bill.
I don't know. How do you normally get the Aiken report?
I get an email and it has a link to the Aiken.
I believe that we've got an email list of people that those go out to, and it's also.
Well, if it's going to be in the Aiken report link that I get when I get the bill, that's fine.
I'll make sure it is. And the most up-to-date information you can get is on our website. That flyer is on the website, the interactive map's on our website. But that's something we've got immediate control over. If something changes or there's something incorrect, you know, we can make immediate
change. We've also got stickers on the trash cans already.
That's right.
With the schedules.
Yeah. No, just red. It's a red sticker.
Well, no, we have the stickers, and we have a little plastic bag that have the schedule. Well, what day is yours if you were red?
We didn't get that.
Not everybody got those delivered. We had some issues.
We're special. You're not.
Yeah, how come you like the north side and you don't like the south side?
Like I said, coming out of the starting gate, we stumbled a little bit.
Well, I think we learned a lot, and that is that communicating to the people of the city of Aiken is a challenge. You just can't assume that whatever you do, you can't assume if it's in the paper, it's okay. You can't just hand them out on the barrels because people didn't put the barrels out. We picked probably the worst week of the year to do this, the week of December 19th. I mean, I can tell you myself and two of my neighbors didn't put a blue barrel out, so we didn't get any information. It was Christmas time. We were gone.
Well, we've learned a lot since then. Yes, and even the weather was working against us. It was raining and the stickers wouldn't stick. And
we have a tough job to make sure that we focus on re-educating people on the importance of recycling. There are a lot of people that are upset. They don't like their life to be changed that way. They're used to doing it. And some of them have said, well, I'm not going to recycle. And we need to make sure that we stress the importance of it. It's a valuable
commodity. Well, I hope they come back to us. Anybody that's said that, you know, we'd be glad to work with them and get them set back up if they change their mind. You know, it's an important thing that the city does, recycling, and we're going to support it.
And our barrels will be available for those few, and I emphasize the word few, that can fill two barrels.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Tim, when we can expect a matrix back, I know you're watching the numbers also, the tonnage and all. Will you be able to keep us updated on that?
Absolutely.
I think a lot of our concerns are we just want to make sure that recycling doesn't drop off. In fact, I've heard a lot of folks, a lot of individuals who didn't know we were recycling either, which is strikes me as unusual. But
you expect
I would hope we'd even see an increase.
Right, I hope so too. I report to you in a monthly report that's in your packet that lists the tonnage of recycling by commodity. So you can look at the total number there, and you really probably want to be comparing it to this month last year.
Is that number on it? I don't think it is at this time.
No.
Would it be possible to put that so we'd have
start reporting the previous year's number so you'd have something to compare with?
That would be helpful.
Initially, we may see a small dip just as people learn, get used to the new system, but the trends nationally are that hadn't happened. And, you know, this isn't something we invented. This is something that many cities are doing. If you Google South Carolina every other week recycling, the list of cities will pop up. You know, and most of them have found a small dip at the beginning, and then it comes right back.
Very good.
Mr. Mayor, one final point. I had a couple of my neighbors that claimed they were cited for leaving a barrel out too long, which I hope we're going to just not do for a while. But when we get that program back up, are we going to issue warnings as opposed to citations that result in a fine?
Yes. Well, that'll be a council decision. But right now, the ordinance says you have to have the barrel back at your house within 24 hours of pickup. Or we could roll it back for you and charge you $5. I can tell you in the 10 years or 11 years that ordinance has been there, nobody's been charged the $5. It has to come across my desk, and the couple that have, I've, you know, gotten rid of.
I thought we, didn't we recently revise that ordinance?
We revisited.
We talked about
it. Raising the penalty price a little bit and decided that probably didn't need it. So what we have now is a little door hanger. It's just a reminder. It says, you know, please be aware that if you leave your can out, we could charge you $5. But nobody's ever been charged.
This council was very clear to staff that the only people that would be receiving citations were chronic abusers.
Yes, that's what I thought as well. Okay.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mokey.
I got a question. The recycled is picked up every 2 weeks now, right?
Correct.
Does that mean you're staggering your staff, or there's flat no recycling done anywhere in the city? Is it just certain areas of the city get picked up alternate weeks?
We were picking up with two crews, mm-hmm. and now we use one crew. So we've eliminated a truck and a driver and the gentleman on back. But
you're doing like a half the city, so to speak, one week, and then the other half of the city with another week.
Right. Okay. So they still have full-time jobs, and that's allowed us. You know, we were talking about tonnage, but one of the important numbers there is the money we've saved. You know, the savings by doing this is upwards to $250,000 per year, every year. So you know, we certainly don't want to dip into recycling tonnage. But because of the loss of inmates, you know, we had a lot of inmate labor, and this is supplementing that. I heard the council loud and clear that the rate needed to stay at $17. There wasn't going to be an increase, and this is one thing we did to keep us there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, number two under petitions and requests. This is a resolution to Atlantic Broadband regarding WIS-TV, and I'm going to recognize Councilman Marriott this time.
You want me to read it?
Yes.
Okay. It's very brief. Resolution. Whereas it has come to our attention that Atlantic Broadband has removed WIS-TV from its channel lineup in Aiken, and whereas WIS-TV has been enjoyed by Aiken citizens for many years for news and for entertainment, now therefore be it resolved that the Aiken City Council asks Atlantic Broadband to reconsider its decision to remove WIS-TV from its channel lineup in Aiken. Signed by the Mayor and Council.
All right. Would you present that in a form of a motion?
As a motion for approval.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. We have a second. Any discussion from staff?
I know that many members of the council, maybe all of you, have received numerous calls as we have. Because we have a franchise with entities, so people assume that because we have a franchise that we can control the programming, and that's not the case. So I think we share Council Member Mary's concern, and this is just an expression of the many, many calls that we received of complaint from our citizens, that although we don't have the authority to request this, this is just a sentiment that there are more than a few citizens that have registered their complaint.
Thank you, sir. Any comments from the audience? Sorry, Steve. Comments?
I hope the council, in all deference to Phil, I understand your point, but I hope that the council does not get involved in this because we're a governmental body. Any governmental body where we insist on some private enterprise to do a certain thing, I think is wrong. I think if there's such an upset amongst the people, they should put economic pressure on Atlanta Broadband from the population.
I don't disagree.
Not from the government side of the house.
I don't disagree, but that's why I oppose this as merely a resolution as a representation of the interests of the people. It's not any kind of action. Certainly, there's not really much action we can take, but this is simply just trying to give a voice to the concern of those, help give a voice to the concerns of those people.
I think a petition drive on part of some of the concerned citizens might be in order, but I really hesitate to let the government tell people what to do, because pretty soon the government can tell people what not to do, and you're talking censorship.
All right, so any other comments from council?
Okay.
All those in favor of sending the resolution as presented? And that's all except for all those opposed. I vote for that, but I'm very sympathetic with what you say, Steve.
I think we all agree with you, Steve. It's just it's not actual government action. It's passing on a message.
All right. Moving down to information, issues and updates. I have a couple of updates I'd like to make, and I think maybe we can recognize some folks who have served on some of this, but I just want to give an update. I jointly appointed a task force with our chamber president, Charlie Hartz, recently, and it was a very good committee made up of about 11 to 12 members representing the business community, developers, to try to help Aiken as a make recommendations towards a business-friendly committee, is what we called it. They've moved forward with 15 points, which I certainly share with council, but most of them, a lot of them are internal, and it also recognized a lot of changes that the staff has already made to move towards that, certainly with John's leadership and John McMichael's, our economic vitality manager, moving towards a one-stop shop. But they made some great recommendations, and those that can't be handled internally with our staff, I think the Planning Commission is actually looking at putting a committee together to move forward to make recommendations to us on some ordinances that we might want to consider. So I want to just give you that update. And I will send that. I just got a note of what the recommendations are, so I'm going to send those out to council. And again, I'd like to have those members come in so we could recognize them for their work. Also, I would just like to point out that in the last year, we had appointed a citizens review board to review any complaints that went before public safety. And that committee, although it's been quiet, has been very active in their activities. It is co-moderated by Grant Weissman, who actually set our invocation today, and Reverend Paul Bush. And it's a good committee. A lot of those have gone through the citizens training with public safety. They've gone through some FBI training and really learning what a stop, proper stop is and those sort of things. So they will be, and talking with the chief, complaints coming through in 2017, we'll have an opportunity to be reviewed by the Citizen Review Board, which they'll make their recommendation to John. So I just wanted to recognize that both of those, the committee and the board, have been working hard and providing results to make our city better. So that's all I have. Are there any other issues and updates?
I have one comment.
Yes, sir.
I think council will join me in wishing Aiken's First Lady, Angie Osmond, congratulations on her promotion at USCA. It means you don't have to work so hard.
The mayor will join you in that also. Thank you, Dick. I appreciate that.
You a happy belated birthday. Yeah.
Ms. Mayor, but we want to acknowledge Gail Diggs for her piece of honor with the Alpha Phi Alpha. Her leadership award for him.
She was the drum major award winner, recognized for leadership, and I had the pleasure of being at that ceremony. And Gail, I couldn't have been prouder. Congratulations, well deserved.
I want to acknowledge our city manager, John Flynn. And John, the reason is that we have been waiting patiently for a procurement manager for a very long time. And you haven't been here very long, but you've made it happen. And certainly, I think with that decision, your active role in getting us one, we're going to see some drastic improvements and some decrease in some of the thing, in the cost. So thank you for moving so aggressively with that.
Yes, and I would like to thank you for those comments, and I would remind the general public that, this issue was an important issue for this council, that we are an organization of a sufficient size to have a much more professional procurement and purchasing operation, and we, both Kim Abney, our finance director, and I are delighted to have appointed Mr. George Grieve, who is here this evening, who
is
has
here?
Decades of experience. George, you want to stand up?
George, welcome.
George has decades of experience in the private sector for corporations and in establishing and managing procurement and purchasing operations, and he's a delightful addition to our management staff.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, George. Welcome. Order. All righty. Any other under?
Yes,
sir, Mr. Ebner.
Which is agenda item A on page 203 about the naming opportunities for the Aiken Visitor Center and Train Museum. I assume we do that, and I'll suggest this to Mr. City Attorney, that we can do this, because the Friends of the Railroad Depot is a separate entity from the city. And having been on Aiken Corp and negotiated with this group, there's a little thing of a $600,000 loan outstanding from the Friends of the Railroad to Aiken Corp, and the reverter clause goes back to the city, and they've been a little remiss in paying that. I look at all of this, and also there is a line item on Capital Project 3 for this. And I guess my concern is how's this money going to flow? And I don't know how, if we need to get, and I guess Jessica is the one that is in charge of this for the city, and talk with the Friends of the Railroad Depot and see how this is going to play out, because there's a couple million dollars at stake here in donations. Now, whether they ever come in or not is a different issue, but I know some of them will and have. So I guess I want a couple of things. One, is this okay to do this on city property?
It's certainly okay to do it. If you want to get into the level of the details, though, I certainly don't have those details.
I understand that.
I think PRT would have to get those details for you.
All right. I guess what I'll do, I'll send the city manager, and we
need... I think we do the same thing at Hopeland's, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So it's okay to do it. But the history of this money and how this set up and what was happening at Aiken Together got changed a couple of times over the last 5 years. My concern is that $600,000 with a couple of million dollars coming in. Because if something happens and the AECOM building doesn't get rented, that loan comes back to the city. Technically it doesn't, but practically it probably would. So I'll send the city manager so we can get an update on how this money is going to be distributed once it comes in.
Thank you, Mr. Edmund.
Okay,
I'm going to call
the city. Start coming back to the city.
I'm going to call Jessica Campbell up this time. Jessica, maybe you'd like to give us an update on Perry Park.
We will officially open our doors tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at 805 Abbeville Avenue for Perry Memorial Park restrooms. Very excited that project is at completion.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
My goodness.
And Jessica, that park closes at what time? What are the hours of that?
During the school year, it is only open after the school hours, so 3 p.m. Until dusk. Mm-hmm. However, if you rent the facility, then of course those hours can be extended, okay. And you would want to go to Smith Hazel Activity Center to inquire about rentals.
Okay.
A lot of people would probably say it sounds like a stupid idea, but because this has been so important to people in this area, I still think that we should have a small dedication, because we've waited for this for so long. May not be a big deal to a lot of people, but it's certainly a big deal to us.
We can work to arrange that if you'd like. Yes, ma'am.
along with hot dogs and hamburgers.
That sounds like a good thing to move on. Jessica, thank you for the good news.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. With that, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Gil. All those in favor, please stand up. We're adjourned.
I think you said it. I did. I'm sorry.